If you want to open your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 11. You know, and in a couple of words, just on the screen, that you hear the story that this Lazarus is someone that Jesus really, really loved. But can I say and reiterate that this is potentially one of the best couple of months of our lives. Potentially, this is going to be one of the most hardest couple of months of our lives. But if we go on the journey with Jesus, that he'll bring us out the other side. Can I tell you this? Jesus is committed. 150% Jesus is committed to changing our lives. See, the gospel is about changed lives. The gospel is about transformation, incredible opportunities to reach potential in our lives, for our future, regarding our destiny. No matter what the holes are, the things that hold on to us, the things that weigh us down, the things that entangle us, all of the things around, we can be assured that Jesus is 100% committed to changing our lives. He is committed that we would mature as Christians. He's committed that even though we face, as James says, that we will face trials. We will face many kinds of circumstances and situations. And he says, if you walk with God, these things are designed to develop your faith, to develop perseverance in our lives. He says, James says, perseverance comes because you're going through stuff. And he says, perseverance must finish its work. Why? So that you may be mature, that you may be complete, and that you may not lack any single thing. So, man, I'm going through stuff. I'm in a winter time. I'm in a place where there's things dying. What's going on? Why is this? We are in some way deceived into like thinking, oh, well, God is not working at me. Believe me, if there's stuff coming up in your life, you can rest assured it's God at work. Because he wants to change that stuff. He wants to get at it. And we'll see this in a minute. In 2 Corinthians, Paul says, and we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, because we are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. He says this, that his goal is that we would reflect the Lord's glory, that we are to be being transformed to look like me, Mother Teresa, Reinhard Bonnke. He says, no, that we have to, that we are being transformed into his likeness. Someone says to me, where's God in this? Why is God not with me? No, I said, he's here. Because every time I or you step into a room who are Christians, God is there. In a real physical way, because he lives inside of us. Now, we are his hands. When this world says, where's God? Here. I'm a signpost. I'm a temple. I'm a house that God lives in because I asked Jesus to forgive my sins and to come in. Therefore, he makes me the temple. I love when you walk into dark situations as a Christian. Because light just comes in. Because we are the light of the world. Whether you know it or not, whether you believe it or not, whether you're acting it or not, doesn't make it not true. God is committed to changing us. Lazarus dies. Jesus hangs out for another couple of days. They send word to him, the one that you loved. He loved Lazarus. Can I tell you, he loves you this morning. Can I tell you, Jesus loves you this morning. He's not someone who's repulsed at you, who's angry with you. He's not someone who says, I have enough of you, I have enough of your antics, I have enough of your tactics, I have enough of your schemes, I have enough of your self-deceit, I have enough of your pride. He doesn't say that he loves you. And he says, Jesus, the one that you love is after, he's asleep. And Jesus tells the disciples that he actually died. And he goes to the place after a couple of days. And the sister runs out and says, Jesus, if you've only been here, nothing would have happened to him. If you were only here, this wouldn't have happened. And Jesus says, just believe and you will see God's glory. She says, yeah, I know he will be raised from the dead in the last days. And he looks at her and goes, he didn't say honey, he goes, look at love. I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection. It's not something out there. He says, I am the resurrection. And he walks over to the tomb. And there's loads going on in it. In verse 38, Jesus was once more deeply moved when he came to the tomb. It was a cave, and this cave had a big stone that laid across the entrance. And Jesus says, take away the stone. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he's been dead now 4 days. Jesus says, did I not tell you, just believe, and you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard my prayer. I know that you always hear me. But I say this not for my benefit, but for the benefit of all these here, so that they may believe you sent me. When he said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. Someone said the reason why he called his name, if he just said come out, that every dead person would have come out of the tombs. So he pinpointed it specifically to his friend Lazarus. Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out. His hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and cloth around his face. Then Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go free. He calls Lazarus out. He says, remove that stone. Expose them grave clothes to me. Expose that debt to me. Expose the constraints and the restrictions on his life to me. We spend our time, potentially, or most likely, we spend our time putting stones over the things that we need to get rid of. We hide it. We dress it up. And Jesus says, come on, remove that stone. Let me at that. Let me at those grave clothes. We kick out. We put on a hard shell. We push people away from us. We speak a certain way, hold ourselves a certain way. Why? Because we're protecting the grave clothes. We're protecting the things that bring death to us and restriction to our lives and brings constraints on our lives. We're saying, look, don't expose that. Don't let anyone see these things. But grave clothes rob us. Grave clothes, like Lazarus, restricts movement. Grave clothes binds us up. Grave clothes keeps us in the tomb. Grave clothes doesn't allow us to move with freedom. It was for freedom that Jesus came. He didn't come to give us coping skills with grave clothes. He didn't come to just go, well, look, here's the ABC, and you will be able to live your life with your gravestones. He came to say, get them things off of you. Because only dead people have grave clothes on. You are not dead. The Bible says that you are alive in Christ. But yet, we all have grave clothes. Grave clothes are constraints. Here's the definition of a constraint that I found. The state, constraint is the state of being restricted or confined within prescribed bounds. Constraints is the state of being restricted or confined within prescribed bounds. And the reason why, of all the definitions I read, that grabbed me was that we all have somehow allowed ourselves to be prescribed with bounds, with bonds, with restrictions. That we put ourselves, or life has put us into things, or situations that happen to us, they put these prescribed bounds in our lives. But who prescribed them? Who said you have to live with anger? Who says you have to live with pains? Who says you have to live without hope or a future? It wasn't the God of this Bible. Who prescribed them? Grave clothes are personal. Every one of us have them. Every one of us have constraints. Every one of us have those things that restrict us from movements. Grave clothes have a beginning. If you wrap me with bandages, each bandage has a beginning. And it also has an end. That somewhere along the line, whether it's through our own doing or situational doing or someone else's doing, we have started to wrap grave clothes around ourselves. We've started to restrict ourselves, let alone anyone else. Grave clothes, as we see with Lazarus, they stink. They're smelly. It doesn't matter if we wear a dress over them. They're still smelly. And you might get used, or I might get used to my grave clothes and the smell of them. But that smell affects other people. And it's vital that we commit ourselves to the change process that God has planned for us. Because I don't want to wrap my kids or their kids in the same grave clothes I've carried around. This is winter, guys. Believe me, summer's on its way. What do grave clothes look like? Any ideas what they can look like? 100 million things. They can look like anger. They can look like lack of ambition. They can look like blaming other people on everything. A whole multitude of things. Afraid to move to another level in your life or in God because the restriction of the grave clothes it wraps you in fear. Grave clothes are like lids that we put on our lives. The grave clothes were designed not to let anything off the body fall out, but also not to let anything come in. And grave clothes are like lids that we have on our lives and the constraints that we don't let anything come out. We don't be free from anything because we just stay the way we are. And worse, we don't let anything come in. We don't let new ideas. We don't let new thoughts. We don't let the love of God. Peter says in his letter, Peter says that it's God's desire that he fills us with the fullness. But when we have constraints, no, I don't deserve it. I'm ashamed. I'm carrying guilt. I'm carrying sin. And we put these constraints on us that not even God. We don't even allow God who loves us to pour things into our lives. No, I deserve this. Psh. No, I want revenge. Psh. Don't know what psh means, but you know what it means. This sound effect type of thing is... When I say restriction, constraint, what's the first thing comes into your mind about your own grave clothes? If you have a pen, write it. Name that sucker. Name and claim it. The thing that holds you back, every time you go to move on, no, it comes there, it comes up. Moses says, look, I can't even speak. How can I be a leader? We have these restrictions on ourselves. Not me. Look at my Gideon. Look at my background. Who put the restriction on you? Who prescribed your boundary lines? Name the sucker. Who prescribed it? Was it the one that created you or me? Was it one that says that I have a plan and a purpose for your life? Was it one that says I have a hope for your life? What's the thing that allows you, that prevents you, from moving on? Here's a few things that I read about constraints or grave clothes. We heard a guy speak last week, myself and Rob, had the best name ever. His name was Flip Flippin. Truly. In American Mountain, Texas. Flip Flippin. Not a great name. Can you imagine when he was giving out to his wife? Will you stop flipping? Flip. Flipping. Let's flip a coin, Flip. Crazy name, isn't it? But this is what he said about constraints, and I'm putting in grave clothes. All of us have them. Every single one of us. We all have them. We all have constraints. We can deny them. We can blame others for them. But still we have them. We can dress them up, but they're still there. And believe me, they'll manifest themselves. Believe me, smell is smell. Denial is a luxury that we cannot afford. Denial is a luxury you and I cannot afford about our constraints or our grave clothes. We can't deny they're there. We can't deny that they're not affecting anybody. My friend said this to me when I became a Christian. I says, Mick, you saying God loves me? He said, yeah. And I says, but look at me. And he says, Noel, he loves you just the way you are. But he loves you enough not to leave you the way you are. He loves you. 20 years ago, that was said to me. He loves you the way you are. He accepts us. But he loves you and I enough not to leave you or I where we are at. But denial will keep us where we're at. Denial will push God out. Denial will, no, I'm not, I'm just not accepting it. See, when Hurricane Katrina was in America, they denied the fact. If you went back 10 years prior to Hurricane Katrina that wiped out parts of the states, that the levees that were, the scientists says they were going to break open one day, that there was many hurricanes that came through that area, and you know what they used to say? Wow, they dodged the bullet there, didn't they? They were living below sea level with the sea in front of them and a lake behind them. And they said it was only a matter of time before this catastrophe happened. And you know what they did? They denied. And denial caused devastation. Can I tell you the same as can happen with our constraints? Now that won't happen. I've seen it happening over in another country, like they've seen the tsunami over in another part of the world. Oh, but that's them over there. Then when it hits home, it's us here. And you can say, look, they all have constraints over there, or this word is for him, or this word is for her. And we can deny that this word, or I have to at least check myself. Denial is a luxury that you and I cannot afford. And here's number two, that you cannot rise above your constraints or your grave clothes. You will not rise above them unless they are addressed, unless they are looked at. You will not be set free unless you say this is that constraint or grave cross. Do you know how they used to catch monkeys years ago, the hunters? They'd clear out a coconut and they put a little hole in it, just enough for a monkey's hand to slip in. And in it, what they do is they put a banana or they put an orange and they chain it to a tree. And when the monkey would get the scent of the banana, he'd put his hand in into the little thing and he'd grab a hold of it. And then he tried to get out. And he couldn't get out because he's made a fist with the banana in it now. And he wouldn't let it go. Like, he wanted to be free. And he lifted this parallel. Hello. He lifted this parallel or this between these two worlds of, I want what's in there and I have it in my hand, but I want to be free also. And he lived between these two worlds of, like, I want to be free. I want to, but I keep on holding on to my constraints. I keep on holding on to my grave clothes. And you're nowhere. In fact, captivity becomes your home. The hunters would come along and they'd pick her up. The monkey could never be free. He could never live beyond the constraint of where he wouldn't let go. You will never rise above it unless it's addressed. Number three, our constraints play themselves out in every areas of our life. Just ask your husband or your wife or your best friend. You know, the hardest thing to do is to sit down and say to someone that you love, hey, will you tell me what I'm like in this area? But I tell you, it's so freeing. When you have someone that you trust and love. Myself and Sharon, because of our role in the church, we walk and journey with a lot of people through a lot of different situations in their lives, in their marriages, with sickness, with successes, all types. And the one that frightens me more than that is marriage stuff. And we could be sitting down and we can be just saying, okay, we need to contact such and such. And inevitably, I will say to Sharon, how are we? How is me and you, honey? What's the story with us? And I, you know, when you say that, that you're opening yourself up. Well, you know yourself, Noah. But I tell you, I'd rather have that than have sitting in my stinking grave clothes. And everyone else knows about it but me. But everyone else is like walking away. Look at your man there. It's like if you know me, if you have a piece of food on your lip and you're in my presence, I'm telling you, I will tell you it's on your lip. I will tell you, people have gone a long way to putting, my kids, they know I hate sweet corn. And they'd sit at the table with a lump of sweet corn, especially this Patrice one, with a lump of sweet corn there. But it doesn't bother me, because I know she knows it's there. But see, when you don't know it's there, I have got up from my seat in a restaurant and gone over to another person and says, do you know there's something on your lip? Or I just go like that. But how many of us sit in our lives with big grey elephants sitting down having dinner with us and no one says, there's the elephant. Nobody says, that's that sucker that keeps me constrained. That's that thing that never lets me go. That's that thing that always seems to hold me back. I've been in situations where husbands and wives, people that are very precious to me actually, this is what they used to say, I don't want to address it. Family. I don't want to address it for peace sake. Whoever defined that peace, it's not peace. Tell them the thing is on their lip. If you love them, if you care about your future, do it with love in your heart. Don't do it with anger. Don't do it just to get one up on someone, because you'll know what you'll get back. You'll get that lump of thing slapped on your head. You'll be met with the same way you gave it. But when you do it in love, that doesn't mean we all go downstairs afterwards saying, come here, you know that. It's in love and it's in the right time. We don't ignore it for peace sake. We don't say that elephant is not there. You can put a lamp on it. You can put a nice cloth on it and a lamp on top of it and a nice flower pot. But the elephant is still in the house. You will never rise above them. You will never go above your constraints. Constraints are role specific as well. Sometimes, this is the only way you know what's in us, when you're put in a position. And I tell you what, if you want to know someone, put them in a position of leadership. And if there's constraints there, if there's elephants there, if there's monsters there, I'm telling you, they have a way of showing themselves. The lovely people, you give them power. You know, just walk into the car park of some place. You park a little bit wrong or something. Come here, you! They're like little, man, sergeant majors. Do you know what? Power. Constraints. And this is the other part of what's really, really important. It's not only do we not cannot allow our constraints to be put on our loved ones. That's why we have to deal with them. See, when you want to build something for God, that he has to deal with the constraints. Because you come responsible for people. You come responsible for people that Jesus died for. You come responsible. And I tell you, there's a devil out there and he doesn't care what position we get into. Because the higher the position, the greater the fall. And the greater the fall, the more branches you knock off on the way down. And you could have these constraints in your life and someone presses that button. Someone goes beyond the gravestone. Someone goes beyond, and that, because bandages are soft. They were linen, real fine cloth. But we put the hard shells around them to protect them. But when someone gets beyond it and presses it, you lash out. You put them down. You act out of something that you wish you never, ever acted out of, because it's still there. And Jesus says, I want to get at that. Because I want to bring you to places. I want to do things with you. But I'm not restricting you. You're allowing these things to restrict yourself. Flip Flippin says that those with the fewest constraints, those with the fewest grave clothes, are the most successful. Are great. And you know the definition of great that I've been using. Stephen Covey says that this is greatness. That greatness is you finding your voice and in turn enabling others to find their voice. Don't you want to be great when you hear that? Don't you not feel any restrictions in saying, you know, if some of you go up, you know what, I want to be great. You wouldn't say that as an Irish person, because it's not really in us. You know, we're like more saying, I'm the worst. But when you hear that definition, I'm going to find my voice. And I want to enable others to find theirs. So I want to be great. I want to be like Muhammad Ali. I want to stand up. I'm the greatest. Because I found a voice. I found something of heaven that is echoing out from within me. And as a return, and in return, other people are finding their voice. And in return for them finding their voice, other people are finding their voice. And people say, that's why testimony is so important. That's why telling your story is so important. Because you're saying to people, I've overcome constraints. Jesus, help me overcome these things. And that person's sitting there saying, well, if you can do it for him, he can do it for me. And it breaks constraints, and they find their voice. And then they tell someone else, don't hold your story down, because there's someone just waiting for you to say, here's how great God is in my life. And this is what he set me free from. And see me, I had the worst low self-esteem you can imagine. But Jesus showed me my worth. And that person sitting there with low self-esteem. I think Jesus can love me. Even the way I'm at. He loves you the way you're at. And he loves you enough not to leave you the way you're at. See, that's what Mick Finley said to me. I was like, do you think he could do it for me? Do you think he could love me that way? Do you think he could have a plan for me that way? Because he found his voice. Because the constraint of sin had been moved off him. And he ran around Dolphin's Bar and telling everybody. And then all of us, up to 40 of us, we all found our voice. Amen. See, it's important. See how important this stuff is. Guys, and I know this is not easy. I see your faces. Believe me. I wish there was 10 years here that we're all going to win the lotto tomorrow. But I see your faces because I know this is deep. But if you go through the autumn and winter, there's a springtime. You will celebrate the coming out of the tomb. They had a party. We'll get into this all over a couple of weeks. So here's a couple of steps of progressing out of that tombstone, out of that grave clothes. Say this yourself, I cannot go back. I cannot go back after hearing this morning. Because when you go back, you know what, them grave clothes are going to look different. In their ignorance, in their own little constraints, we can go, well, look, this is where I live. But say to yourself, I can't go back to that living. I can't go back to that way of thinking. Jesus, help me. Patrice read a great psalm this morning, that he meets me more than halfway. No, that means as soon as I take a step, he's there. As soon as I make a decision, somehow the process of God kicks in that enables me to get to where I'm going. It starts with a decision. It starts with, I don't want to live at this address any longer. I don't want to be constricted any longer. I don't want to be restricted any longer. I don't want to live in smelly clothes. I don't want to deny the elephant. I don't want to be having lid on my life anymore. It starts with a decision, and that allows God then in to kick off something new in our lives. And if we go through the process, we come out the other side. But you have to move away in that tomb. Lazarus, come out. You had to move away. See, we can live in so many tombs. If you're grieving about a loved one, about a broken relationship, about losing your job, there's all types of grieving. You have to step away from the grave at some stage, or you're going to live your life around the grave. And how hard it is to lose loved ones. Now, hard it is to break, to live and to have broken relationships. Believe me, freedom awaits you. But we can't live there. We can't see everything through that lens, because all that becomes a restriction on us then. All of that becomes how we act out things. All that comes how we receive things that we can't live there. How hard it is to move on. But you have to make a decision. I can't go back there. I can't stay here. I must go forward. I must go forward. And you know what I believe about going forward. God is attracted to our movements. Now when we step out, ask Peter when he got out of the boat. We preach all the time about Peter's denial. He walked on water. Sometimes our constraint says, you just cannot go. You've known this all of your life. You have lived with this. You have learned how to cope with this. You have you've dressed her up. Listen, your constraint will say, nobody sees that. Nobody knows that in your life. Hello, we do. And you know mine. We do. Don't think we don't know that about each other. But here's the worst thing that we can say. Oh, that's just Peter. Oh, that's just Noel. That's just the way he does it. He always kicks out at people. That's just him. Do you know what we're saying? We're saying, leave them there. Oh, that's just Sharon. She's a grumpy old thing. Do you know, that's just Sharon. Ah, just leave her for peace's sake. Oh, Sharon's like, that's just the way he is. He was brought up like that. That's his family. And all the negative stuff comes out. That's just your family. Just leave him. Believe me, if you're in a close friendship or relationship with someone and people's on your heart, and instead of just going, that's just them, please pray about it and fast. And in love, say, look, make sure you have a good relationship. Because you've been tied like the elephant to the stake for so long. Do you know what they do with elephants? They when they're babies, they put these stakes in the ground, little baby elephants. And the stakes are so deep and driven so deep into the ground. And they put this chain around the elephant's leg. And the little baby elephant is trying to get away from the stake all the time. Little, you know, like he's power. He has strength even at that size. And he tries to get away, but he knows he can't. The next day he tries to get away, he can't. The next day he tries to get away, he can't. When he's a big, huge elephant, a couple of ton, you know what they use to tie him down? A little rope and a little stake, a little wooden stake. Because he's come so conditioned to that which is in the ground. He said, I can't get away from it. And now if he only knew the potential and the power that was in him, he could take that stake up and run forever with the thing. But he doesn't know, because he knows the constraint. He's been conditioned. I can't get free for this. I can't let this go. I can't give this up. We've been conditioned and we go around and around and around. And there's a small stake now. It's not the big thing anymore. But when I tell you, the Bible says that the power of God lives in us. And therefore we can move on from where we've been living at for so long. Listen to what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 12:9. The Bible says, God said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Paul says, therefore, I'm going to boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. See, we go around hiding the grave clothes. And Paul says, I've recognized my grave clothes. And by recognizing the grace of God is on me and the power of God is released in me and on me because I've recognized them. So he says, I'm going to recognize all of my grave clothes. We've learned to hide them. Paul says, now this grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, may it rest on you. May it be in you. May it be in operation by the Holy Spirit through you. He says, the grace that was afforded to me in my weaknesses was really the power of God being released in me to overcome and to leave my constraints. And this morning, all I want to say really at the end of all this, when you make a decision to move forward, when you make a decision in your heart, Lord, I don't want to live at that address anymore. It's robbed me of job opportunities. It's robbed me of relationship opportunities. It's robbed me of ministry opportunities. It's robbed me of my friendships. It's robbed me of things that I know you placed in my heart. So, Lord, I'm making a decision this morning. I'm not staying at this place. I'm moving forward. That pole is not going to be my master anymore because Jesus lives in me. And I'm saying, Jesus, I want to be free.